Welcome to the Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins, in for Norman Gilliland. But I'm not alone in the studio. I have two guests from the world-famous Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, violinist Harvey D'Souza and cellist John Healy. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you.
It's wonderful that you're here. And I was just saying, as I think many of you may have heard, because I had my mic open, that I've been announcing St. Martin in the Fields for so long, and then to have you here in the studio, it's very exciting. Well, you're on tour not with the entire orchestra, but with the chamber ensemble. Can you tell me why that was formed, when it was formed, and what the purpose of the chamber ensemble is?
The purpose? Well, I think at the time, the orchestra was pretty much just a directed string ensemble with Neville Mariner playing the violin, directing from what you would call the concertmaster's chair, and obviously got off to a pretty good start, was very successful, and then I think the Mendelssohn Octet was and is the great piece that generates so many ensembles, and they recorded that, and that was the start of the life of the ensemble. And now, if you're going to get a year out of me, I would say that was probably in the sort of middle to late 60s.
So it's been
around. The orchestra was formed in 59, so mm-hmm. It sort of evolved. And that recording, Hugh McGuire led, so that was that time. And then Iona Brown did a recording, and then more recently we recorded it with Kenneth Sillitoe as the first violin director. So it's been, you know, over that time.
And speaking of the Mendelssohn Octet, that will be on the program tonight. You're here in Wisconsin to perform at the Wisconsin Union Theater in Madison, and that will be one of the pieces on the program. What else are you going to be playing tonight?
Well, besides the Mendelssohn Octet, we will be playing another octet by Shostakovich. It's a much shorter work, just two movements, and we will also be doing a Brahms sextet, G major sextet. So it's a great program.
Oh, it sounds like a wonderful program. I have to ask you, what is St. Martin in the Fields? Is it a school, a church, or...?
It's actually a church. It's a church right on Trafalgar Square. But when it was built, the City of London was actually comprised of what we call now the City of London, or the City, which is the financial district. And St. Martin was in the fields, literally in the fields. It was right on the west side of the,
no
of the city.
Kidding.
The original Roman foundations of the city were on the east side of the city. So that's where it got its name. It was St. Martin in the fields, literally.
Literally. Church. And yeah, now it's right smack.
Now it's right smack in
downtown.
The middle of...
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And there are loads of concerts happen there all the time. I mean, we play there maybe 6 to 8 times a year, and people come from here and everywhere throughout the world coming, and they hear a concert and they think it's us, but it often isn't.
Mm-hmm. On the program tonight, you have a couple of pieces written by very young composers, a 16-year-old Mendelssohn and, what, 18 or 19-year-old Shostakovich, I believe.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about the Shostakovich for a minute? That's on the program tonight. He was just finishing his studies, and a friend of his had died, a poet.
That's right.
That's
yes.
Right.
It's a tribute to him. It's an extraordinarily powerful work. I think more so than other pieces, certainly of that time period of Shostakovich, it's certainly emotionally it is filled with anger and sadness, to the extent that I think we are first introduced to that kind of sonority in Shostakovich's music. Of course, later on he expanded on that tremendously. But as a 19-year-old, it's truly a fantastic piece of music, constructed in the most extraordinary way.
Why don't we listen to the first movement of that? Any special something we should listen for?
There is towards the end. There's a solo on the fourth violin, which is, we reckon, is the sort of dedication to the friend. You'll see how sad it is, and listen out for that. It's a very
and also actually, by the fifth measure, you'll hear the start, and then you'll hear an extraordinary second cello, which John plays, the start of this extraordinary tune, which is then expanded throughout the movement.
Well, let's hear this prelude by Shostakovich, performed by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields Chamber Ensemble. Music by Shostakovich, performed by the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields Chamber Ensemble. That was the prelude from two pieces for string octet. And my guests are Harvey D'Souza, he's a violinist, and John Healy is cellist. John Healy, rather, with the Chamber Ensemble of St. Martin in the Fields. And had we let that go to the second movement, boy, is that a wonderful, wild, scintillating, energetic piece.
Absolutely. It's sort of prelude, not only to the in the piece, but having gone on to that, it's also, when you think of the what he wrote well into his 70s, I think it was. And of course, we'll never know what he could have written had he not been under such an impressive regime. But it was, I think, the next major piece that would have been successful would have been the First Symphony. So this is at least letting us know what we were sort of in for. You know.
Right, right. That's one. Well, we heard the sort of the tribute to his friend, the poet, there at the end in the cello voice, as you mentioned us to listen for. And that's just one of the kinds of voices that we'll hear tonight. We'll hear a couple of more very interesting kinds of voices and composers speaking their hearts, shall we say.
Well, absolutely. I think you're talking about the Brahms Sextet.
That's what I'm trying to get at, I think.
Yes. Well, the Brahms Sextet, yes, it's one of those extraordinary pieces, certainly one of my personal favorite chamber music works, particularly this one. I think it's probably some of Brahms' most intimate writing, and certainly the history of it suggests that when he wrote this, there's a little code in this composition, and it was written after many years, actually, after he split up with his longtime love that he was supposed to marry and actually walked away from, and I think regretted that. Agatha von Siebold, I believe her name was, and there's a code. The notation in the theme spells out her name, A G A H E T, whatever. So
he leaves the T out.
But they spell out specific notes in German notation. So
the H is a B natural.
Yes. Yes, I believe you're right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So he uses her name.
Yeah, and so it's and I think this was his final sort of getting over this relationship, his sort of tribute to her, and his final, I think, what's the word now? He's letting go, letting go of this relationship.
Trying to maybe expunge some guilt feelings, perhaps.
Yes, lots of things. Yes.
And so the sextet will be played by, I suppose, two of you will leave the stage then.
That's right.
What's the configuration?
Four violins, two violas, two cellos, and the third and fourth violin, they have a break. Which is very nice. They generally help us set up for the sextet, so they come out and do the stands and the chairs. But no, and then six of us will take the stage. And generally, what we failed to mention, the ensemble is made up of the principal players of the academy. So it's all the front desk strings. And the ensemble also have principal winds. It just so happens that this tour is just the strings. Often we will do the Schubert Octet or the Beethoven Septet and other chamber music with winds. But in this case, it's just the front desk players of the orchestra.
And I have to say, as I was preparing for the interview, you've gotten some rave reviews over the years for the sense of ensemble and the musicianship, and yeah.
Well, I think as Harvey just said, it's it does go a long way to when the orchestra plays most of its time without a conductor. It's not such a shock to then come to this format and the people we've been playing with mostly for 20 years. You know, it's just it takes for a lot to that is just such a untalked about thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we sit down and play and find different ways. We play the Mendelssohn. How long have you been in the group? 15 years?
Gosh, and I think the last count probably over 300 times.
300 times. And, you know, we'll still rehearse it this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we'll still find ways of...
Never fails to surprise.
Not just about what happened last night, but, you know, I've been thinking on the plane maybe that bit... You know, it's forever searching, so it's... We try never to stagnate anyway.
Do you continue to find new things in the music?
Do you continue
to feel new things?
Absolutely, without question. And we'll have some serious arguments about it too.
Actually, hearing the Shostakovich recording just now, I mean, it's quite different. Mm-hmm. What you'll get tonight.
Oh, it's evolved over the years.
Yeah.
That was a 1993 recording, so nearly 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why don't we hear an excerpt from the Brahms? We'll have to, it's a little long, but we're going to hear some of the first movement where he's actually spelling out the name of this woman to whom he was engaged and broke the engagement.
Right.
And this is not a recording by the St. Martin in the Fields Chamber Ensemble. This is a recording, rather, that features violinist Yehudi Menuhin, and you mentioned that there's a connection there.
There is a strong connection.
Andrew Watkinson, who's playing first violin, and myself, we both studied with him. We both went to his school in England, and we studied with him. And actually, yesterday on our journey down to Madison, we were discussing the extraordinary influence that Yehudi Menuhin had on our lives and what an extraordinary human being he was. It was fantastic talking about that and remembering the extraordinary things he did for us and for a lot of musicians, a lot of great musicians. David Oistrakh, one of them, was a huge supporter, and he got him out and to play in the West at the time when it was impossible for them. And he single-handedly, I remember, took on the Soviet government at the time and refused to believe that. I think there was a concert in Paris where at last minute his visa was cancelled and claimed that he was ill, but he knew that he was not ill, and he stood up for him and got him to come, and it was an extraordinary thing to do. So
it was an extraordinary human being, no question.
And with such an influence on the whole classical world, not
Absolutely.
Just the violinists. Yeah. Well, let's hear...
So it comes with our blessing, don't we?
Good. We'll hear the part of the first movement from the Sextet No. 2 in G from the Opus 36 of Johannes Brahms. We've been listening to part of the first movement from the String Sextet No. 2 in G by Johannes Brahms. That is one of the pieces of music that is on tonight's program, and that is taking place at the Wisconsin Union Theater here in Madison. That's tonight at 7:30. The Academy of St. Martin in the Fields Chamber Ensemble is performing. And my guests this part of the show, Harvey D'Souza. He's a violinist with the ensemble, and John Healy is cellist with the ensemble. Boy, what a lovely, lovely piece. We were talking in between about words and music and how sharing some of the context and the letters behind these pieces of music can bring more understanding and more enjoyment, more feeling to the listening experience. And you mentioned that you're doing an interesting performance coming up in March in London.
Yes, we're going to play both the sextets, and we're going to get a very well-known actor to come and read some letters from Brahms to both to Clara and to Joachim, and hopefully that will enhance the evening.
I would think so. I would think so. Which brings us to the Mendelssohn, which is just a joyful, sparkling piece written by such a young genius, influenced by Goethe, I guess, who had such a great impact on his life, gave him confidence and so forth.
Absolutely. Well, it's the diamond in the crown of chamber music compositions, to a 16-year-old precocious kid writing music like this should not be allowed. it's truly extraordinary. It's a piece that you can play literally hundreds of times, as some of us have, and always find something new. Always. It's just the construction of it, the imagination, includes the signature of Mendelssohn, which is his extraordinary scherzos and writing of that kind, his own language. To find that voice at the age of 16 is truly incredible, truly masterful.
Right.
Slightly, I'm not sure if it's absolutely unique, but often you will hear two perhaps well-established string quartets playing it together, and I'm not sure there's another group that plays it as an ensemble,
as an octet, a true octet, rather than two quartets coming together, right?
Yep.
Would there be a difference in interpretation when you have two quartets coming together?
Well, I have played in my previous life. I was a quartet player and have on many occasions joined forces with another quartet to play it, and it does bring something else. But one does have to get over the problem, which first violinist plays the first violin part?
Yes.
And the cellist and the viola player. So we don't have that problem anyway.
Well, we're going to hear one of the movements from the octet. Did we decide on the scherzo?
Yes, maybe a bit of the scherzo, because it's...
It's marvelous.
Well, quintessential Mendelssohn.
Right, and I understand that it has influence from Faust. He's from Walpurgis Night. Well, before we say goodbye, it's almost time for today's quiz question. I'd like to mention that the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields Chamber Ensemble will be appearing at the Wisconsin Union Theater tonight. That's in Madison at 7:30. And you can find details at Union Theater, that's with T-E-R, .wisc.edu, or for tickets, the number is 608-265-ARTS, A-R-T-S, which translates to 2787, 608-265-2787. And my guests have been Harvey D'Souza, the violinist, and John Healy, cellist, both with the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. It's been just a wonderful pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for asking us.